This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Welcome to your Sunday liturgy. This is the program that accompanies you as you prepare for the Sunday Eucharistic celebration. After the Sunday liturgy, you can listen to our bulletin of church news that will be followed by Panorama. Then, our feature, The World Around Us, with news about our environment. I'm Father Paul Samasumo.
Almost everyone has items of value that they cherish in this life. In this Sunday's readings, we are asked a poignant question. Where is your treasure? There is actually nothing wrong with having property or enjoying the fine things of life. What we need is balance, not to be swept away by earthly and material things.
Sunday in Ordinary Time.
A reading from the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, says Koheleth. Vanity of vanities. All things are vanity. Here is one who has labored with wisdom and knowledge and skill, and yet to another who has not labored over it, he must leave property. This also is vanity and a great misfortune. For what profit comes to man from all the toil and anxiety of heart with which he has labored under the sun? All his days sorrow and grief are his occupation. Even at night his mind is not at rest. This also is vanity. The word of the Lord.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, if you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ your life appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. Put to death, then, the parts of you that are earthly: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and the greed that is idolatry. Stop lying to one another, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed for knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel, according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods. And I shall say to myself, 'Now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
And now for this week's reflection. For many people, a beautiful life is measured by the amount of things that they possess: houses, money, cars, clothes, riches, and more things around them. As we have said, there is nothing wrong in having nice things. Wealth is a blessing from God and can be a result of our hard work. God created everything in this world, and he saw that it was good, and he put everything under our control as human beings. We all need earthly treasures like land, houses, cars, money, and other things. But it may be important to examine how we actually acquired the wealth that we have and how we are using that wealth, or whatever it is that we have. That is where we sometimes get it wrong. Besides, wealth is to be shared. What is the point of living a lavish life when our neighbor next door is languishing in poverty and misery? What you think about most of the time may give a clue to where you and I have our treasure. May the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in your hearts through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you. Father Enobongo Dayejong, Father Hilary Munyaneza, and Robin Peary contributed to the program. I'm Father Paul Samasomo. Do stay tuned in now for our bulletin of church news and the world around us, all about our environment.
Popli Leo XVI on Saturday expressed his deep sorrow upon receiving the news of the sudden death of Pascal Rafiki, an 18-year-old Egyptian youth who was traveling to Rome to participate in the Jubilee of Youth. The Pope gave this message of condolence and comfort on Saturday when he received a group of Egyptian young people who have arrived in Rome to participate in the Jubilee of Youth. Leading the delegation was Jean-Marie Chami, the titular bishop of Tarsus and auxiliary bishop of the Patriarchate of Antioch of the Greek Melkites for Egypt, Sudan, and South Sudan. Tragically, Rafik died earlier in the day, just after arriving in Rome together with the delegation. Welcoming the group at the Vatican, the Pope assured the delegation of his heartfelt prayers and invoked the Lord's comfort and consolation upon Pascal's family, friends, and all of those who grieve her loss. While consoling the group, he said he acknowledged the grief we feel, also so suddenly, but that our hope in the risen Christ gives us hope in remembering Pascal's new life in Christ. Addressing the group in English before imparting his apostolic blessing to them, Pope Leo encouraged them to find consolation in God's boundless love and mercy, and the hope that never disappoints. Meantime, the Jubilee of Youth entered its 60th day on Saturday. An estimated 1 million plus young Catholics aged 18 to 35 have been meeting in Rome and the Vatican to celebrate the Feast for the Youth, which is one of its planned events for the Jubilee of Hope 2025. Rome has since Tuesday been a hive of activities, with young people filling the streets of the Eternal City, waving the flags of their countries or cities and chanting religious songs. Various events have been planned for them by the church throughout the city, including at Circus Maximus, where on Friday approximately 1,000 priests were on hand to hear confessions. Some 200 white gazebos donned the amphitheater, where chariot races were once held in ancient Rome, and the youth lined up to speak to priests in 10 different languages. The visibly excited young people on Saturday looked expectant for the vigil gathering with Pope Leo XVI at the Torre Vergata Arena that had also hosted the World Day of the Youth in 2000. Kelsey Gassi has this report.
John Paul II, he loves you.
A quarter of a century ago, 2 million young people from 157 countries joined with Pope John Paul II to celebrate the 15th World Youth Day, which was held in 2000 in Rome at Tor Vergata. And this unique day, which has often been called the Catholic Woodstock, was held during the Jubilee of 2000, marking the bimillennium of Christ's birth. That year, there were 300 portable confessionals set up around the Colosseum and Circus Maximus, with some 2,000 priests to offer the sacrament of confession to pilgrims in 30 languages. This tradition continued to this year as 2025 marks another Jubilee year. About 1 million young people are celebrating their role in the Catholic Church for the Jubilee of Youth, with events such as concerts and talks, and a day set aside for penitence and a prayer vigil. As a nod back to the World Youth Day of 2000, the prayer vigil is being held at the same location, Tor Vergata. 25 years later, the site has changed some as a structure designed like a 75-meter-tall sail rises above the Roman hills, a symbol of the connection between Rome's center with its periphery, both physically and spiritually. The vigil marks the culmination of a week-long Jubilee event dedicated to young people. And ahead of the event, Pope Leo met with artists tasked with animating the young people at the vigil and reminded them their talents are a gift to the entire church.
La musica, ballo e tante forme artistiche che ci sono che voi condividerete questo pomeriggio con i giovani che è veramente un dono per noi tutti, per tutta la Chiesa.
Now, 25 years after Pope John Paul II, hundreds of thousands of young people from around the world are sharing their testimonies, music, questions, dance, and faith with Pope Leo, continuing the tradition that Tor Vergata is Rome's place dedicated to young people. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
Earlier on Saturday morning and ahead of the vigil gathering, Pope Leo XVI welcomed artists who would be animating the Jubilee of Youth vigil at the Tovergata on Saturday evening. The Holy Father informally received the artists in the Clementine Hall at the Vatican, telling them that he wanted to have this more family-like meeting with them, aware of the beauty of the heart and of the music that they offer to the great crowd that they have in Rome these past few days. For me, he said, it is a privilege and a blessing to be able to take part in this mission and service, first as the Bishop of Rome and then as the Holy Father. Also on Saturday, Pope Leo XVI received a delegation from the Vatican Museums. The audience took place in the little hall of the Vatican's Paul VI hall. During the encounter, a painting depicting St. Augustine and an angel, which is the work of an anonymous Roman artist of the 18th century, was presented and handed over to the Pope. The painting was restored by the Laboratory for the Restoration of Paintings and Wooden Materials and is a free copy of the figure of St. Augustine, who appears in the fresco known as the Disputation of the Holy Sacrament by Raphael Sanzio and dates back to the 1500s. Among those present at the audience were the President of the Governorate of the Vatican City State, Sister Raffaella Petrini, and the Director of the Directorate of Museums, Barbara Giatta. Also present were Monsignor Terence Hogan, the Coordinator of the Office for Relations with the Patrons of the Arts in the Vatican Museums. As we have already heard on this program, the Symposium of Episcopal Conferences of Africa and Madagascar is meeting in Rwanda's capital, Kigali, for its 20th plenary assembly. Known by its acronym as SECAM, the Continental Catholic Body is the association of all the Catholic bishops of Africa. Its aim is to promote the Church's role as an instrument of salvation and building the Church as a family of God in Africa. The objective of SECAM is fostering communion, collaboration, and joint action among all the Episcopal Conferences of Africa and its islands. The 30th July to 4th August 20th SECAM Plenary Assembly has attracted more than 250 representatives and experts of the Catholic Churches in Africa. It has as its theme, Christ, Source of Hope, Reconciliation and Peace. Vatican Radio's Father Paul Samasumo is in Kigali for the SECAM meeting, from where he sent us this report on the second day of the deliberations, focused on unpacking the central theme and exploring the continent's long-term vision.
The SECAM Plenary Assembly, taking place in Kigali, Rwanda, entered day two with African bishops discussing in greater detail the Church's long-term pastoral vision, unveiling a 25-year plan from 2025 to 2050 aimed at strengthening unity, hope, and reconciliation across the continent. The new vision builds on the 1994 and 2009 African synods that upheld the vision of the African Church as a family of God. Later in the day, the bishops took time to address the sensitive issue of polygamy, reaffirming the Church teaching on the sacrament of marriage while highlighting the need for pastoral accompaniment for those already in polygamous unions, especially women and children. The bishops have since agreed to implement a strategic roadmap to foster a Church that works together with courage, conviction, and communion. On Saturday, the bishops were voting for new SECAM office bearers, and Sunday, the bishops will conclude their plenary assembly with Holy Mass at Kibeho, a famous Marian shrine where the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared in 1981. For Vatican News, I'm Father Paul Samasumo in Kigali, Rwanda.
You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the World Around Us news about our environment. I am Festus Tarawali. We begin this edition with the soundbite of the promotional video of the Laudato Si village located on the grounds of the papal villas in Castel Gandolfo near Rome. The village, also known as Borgo Laudato Si, is an initiative launched by the late Pope Francis to promote ecological conversion and sustainable living. The Borgo Laudato Si is a unique site open for pilgrims during this Jubilee year. Let us listen.
On February 2nd, 2023, Pope Francis entrusted the Laudato Si Center for Higher Education with the task of creating the Laudato Si Village in the heart of the gardens of the Papal Villas in Castel Gandolfo. A place where the principles outlined in the encyclical Laudato Si can be applied concretely and shared with people of goodwill. Spanning 86 acres of gardens and 49 acres of agricultural land, the village hosts a botanical heritage of over 3,000 plants and trees from 300 different species. Here, education in integroecology, circular economy, and environmental sustainability is at the heart of every activity. During the Jubilee of 2025, we invite you to discover this unique place where spirituality, history, and natural beauty come together to offer an experience of renewal open to all. Join us in our educational programs and workshops, and together, let us build a more just and sustainable future. We look forward to welcoming you at the Laudato Si Village.
The Takugama Chimpanzee Sanctuary in Sierra Leone has temporarily closed its doors to visitors due to ongoing illegal encroachment on its protected area. The encroachment, including land grabbing and deforestation, poses a direct threat to the chimpanzees and the sanctuary's ecosystem. The closure is also a protest against the lack of effective action from the government to address the issue. Authorities have acknowledged the country's rich wildlife is threatened by land seizures and illegal logging, but the founder of the chimp sanctuary, Bala Amarasekaran, says they have not yet done enough about it to convince him to reopen to visitors. He says the encroachment puts the 122 rescued chimpanzees at risk, as well as the sanctuary's ecosystem. While closed to visitors since the end of May, the sanctuary, which was founded 30 years ago, continues its conservation, rehabilitation, and research efforts. The sanctuary is located within the Western Area Peninsula National Park of Sierra Leone, about half an hour's drive from the capital, Freetown. It sits on 100 acres of primary rainforest adjacent to the Congo Dam, and is part of the larger Western Area Forest Reserve. To support the sanctuary, you can become a chimp guardian through adoption. You can also volunteer, donate, explore their ecologies, and support their community outreach programs. You can do this by visiting their website, www.takugama.com. Takugama spelled as T-A-C-U-G-A-M-A. In Somalia, the UN Migration Agency said this week that climate shocks and mass displacement caused by conflict have now uprooted 3.6 million people. Daniel Johnson of UN News has more on that story.
Almost half the country's population has been impacted by the climate crisis, according to the International Organization for Migration. The UN agency's Deputy Director General, Oguchi Daniels, expressed solidarity for Somali communities who continue to endure relentless droughts, floods and conflict. Ms. Daniels also noted that communities are finding solutions to withstand the worst impacts of the climate crisis, but they need international support from the Green Climate Fund urgently. IOM is active across Somalia in displacement sites and in rural and other fragile areas. Its work includes promoting land restoration and so-called environmental peace building, which aims to reduce tensions over shared resources. Another IOM initiative also encourages the people of Somalia to invest in their own development by providing additional funding. In 2024, communities contributed more than $500,000 towards projects such as solar energy, clean water access, and small-scale farming. Investments all matched by more than $2 million from IOM. Daniel Johnson, UN News.
As reported previously, the University of Witwatersrand in South Africa has launched an anti-poaching campaign in which the horns of rhinos will be injected with a radioactive material. The scientists from the Johannesburg-based university, also known as WITS, said the process is harmless to rhinos but will allow custom officers to detect smuggled horns as they are transported across the world. The Rhizotope project was launched on Thursday after 6 years of research and testing. The researchers, who collaborated with the International Atomic Energy Agency, found horns could even be detected inside 40-foot shipping containers. The horns of African rhinos are often exported to countries in Asia where they are used in traditional medicine and also seen as a status symbol. And that's all for this edition of The World Around Us, news about our environment. Till the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali.
This is the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and that is all we have time for today. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba, and praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.